الحمد لله رب العالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد The author he mentioned رحمه تعالى باب ما يحذر من الكلام في الفتن The chapter with regards to that which one should be cautious from, with regards to speaking in the time of trials, in the time of fitin, trials, and the likes. بَابُ مَا يُحْذَرُ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ فِي الْفِتْنِ Meaning that this is a clarification of the obligation of this issue, that a believer, he must refrain his tongue from that which is displeasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And a number of those issues have proceeded, and from that is to speak in times of fitna and trials, and speak in times whenever there is commotion and chaos going on, specifically amongst the ranks of the believers, and specifically between the Muslims, and even more specific with that which is related to the rulers and the leaders, and the trials and the likes that occur in this manner. A believer, he will strive to be far away from the fitna, and he will strive to be far away from the troubles and the trials, and he will strive to be free from them, and he will never want to be a part of the fitna and a reason for the flame and the fire of the fitna to burn and to increase. Rather, he would hope to be far from that and safe from that, or he would hope to be a means to lighten that, or to cease that, or to be a means to bring rectification with regards to that, and to remove that. But the issue of the fitna and the trials and the tests of this life and the likes is that this is from the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these trials they occur as a test, to test the people and to try them and to purify them and to see who is truthful in their faith and to see who is strong in their methodology, in their way, and who is honest and sincere in following the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and being diligent in that, from those who are liars, or for those who are deceptive, from those who are weak or deficient with regards to that. Here the author, he says, بَابُ مَا يُحْذَرُ مِنَ الْكَلَامِ فِي الْفِتْنِ And in the chapter with regards to what one should be cautious from, he should be aware of, and he should avoid and stay away from speaking in times of al-fitn. The people of knowledge, they mention al-fitn, جَمْعُ الْفِتْنَ Al-fitn, yani, which means trials or tribulations, or can mean calamities, or also can mean punishment. It has a number of meanings. What is intended here is the trials. What is intended here is the test from dissension in the ranks of the believers, and falling out and discord that occurs between the Muslims and in the Ummah and the likes like this. But in any case, the origin of this word, the people of knowledge, they have mentioned Aslu fitna al-ikhtibar. Al-ikhtibar, what imtihan, yani a test and a trial. And they would use this word, the Arab, they would use this word to refer to placing al-dhahab fil-nar. يختبره. And one of them, he would put the gold in the fire. يعني يفتنه. يعني أن يفتنه. يريد أن يفتنه. يعني يختبره. ويمتحنه. He would want to test it. He want to try it, to see that which is pure from that which is false, to see that which is good, and from the quality of the gold from that which is impure and that which is fake or that which is not good. So putting the gold in the fire to test it, to verify that it's pure gold, and to verify the pure gold from that which is impure, and to specify and to determine that which is pure from that which is impure, this is called fitna. They would test it like this. So likewise the trials in life. So likewise there's trials in life similarly that they test the people. It's a means of testing the hearts and testing the souls, and testing the faith and distinguishing from those who are truthful in their faith and from those who are liars, and from those who are strong and upright and steadfast, from those who are weak and deficient with regards to that. So this is the issue with regards to the fitna in general. Allah, He mentioned in His book, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسَ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that they will be left because they say we believe and they will not be tried and tested? And do the people think that this is the case, that it will suffice them to say, oh, I believe, and to enter into the fold of that Islam, and then after that everything will be easy and there will not be any trials or tests? Rather, from the reality of this life is that it's a test. And a person, he'll be tested in his faith, tested with shubuhat and tested with shahawat. And the way to pass the test with regards to the shubuhat and the doubts and misconceptions is to have certain and sound, profound, proper knowledge. Knowledge of the Quran and the Sunnah, and the understanding of a salaf, a salih. In this manner, a person, he can have the weapons and the tools and the instruments he needs to defend himself from the shubuhat, to defend himself from the misguided thoughts and the innovations and the misunderstandings in creed and aqidah, first and foremost. And likewise in methodology. To have knowledge to defend and to repel the shubuhat and these doubts that the devil, he casts into the hearts of the people, and likewise that the devils from mankind, from the misguided and the deviant, from the disbelievers, and the Jews and the Christians, and likewise from the deviant, from those people of desires who ascribe to this ummah, they spread and they circulate these whims and desires and concepts that are incorrect, misconceptions and misunderstandings. And those people who do not have knowledge, they'll be tried by that. It'll be a means to test them, and it'll be a means to weaken their faith. And they'll have doubts. They'll have doubts with regards to Allah and His Tawheed. They'll have doubts with regards to making the worship sincerely for Allah. They have doubts with regards to the methodology of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his companions, and dealing with the rulers and the likes like this. They don't have knowledge. So therefore these shubuhat will affect them. Will affect them and bring weakness, yani, to their deen. Bring weakness to their deen. But likewise, a believer, he also has to be cautious from the trials of the shahawat, the trials of the impermissible lusts. And in order to repel these impermissible lusts, which are directly related to the desire and that which a believer wants with his heart, and that which he hopes for and that which he likes, that which he wants to take pleasure in and enjoy. And there are trials and tests with regards to this likewise. There are things that are impermissible and not allowed to enjoy and to partake in this life. And we're tried with that. So in order to be free from that, likewise, again, he has to have knowledge to know these affairs and to be upon insight with regards to them, and that they're impermissible, and to know with certainty the foul outcome that they lead to, and to have strong determination to strive against one's soul to leave that for the sake of Allah, and to avoid that for the sake of Allah. So these are from those tests. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that they'll be left because they say we believe? Because they say we believe and they will not be tried and they will not be tested. And this is not the case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He clarified after that. He said, وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلِيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلِيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. Indeed, we have tried and tested those before them. And indeed, Allah will make it well known, those who are truthful, and likewise He will make it well known, those who are liars and those who are dishonest with regards to that. So again, the fitna is a means to raise the rank of the righteous and the pious and the truthful, and a means to lower those who are liars and dishonest with regards to that, and likewise to determine between the two. If the people were left to say we believe, and then they will never be tried in their faith, there's no way to distinguish those who are truthful and those who are not truthful. But whenever the trials and tests come, those who are steadfast, the trials of the shubuhat, the trials of the shahawat, those who are steadfast upon obedience, in good times and in bad times, in times of ease, in times of hardship, in times of wealth, in times of poverty, in times of good, in times of bad, those who are firm in every circumstance, then this is a sign of the truthfulness of their faith, and a testimony to the truthfulness and the sincerity in their religion, that they abide by the legislation in every situation, whether it's something that is pleasing to them or something that is displeasing to them. They check their self and their soul and their tongue and their hands and their mouth and their creed and their whole way of life with the reins of the legislation in every circumstance and situation. And this is the means to pass that test. And this is a means to purify the soul, and a means to cleanse the heart, and it means to raise the rank of the pious and righteous and those who are truthful and sincere. And likewise, a means to determine those who are contrary to that, and to clarify that so that it can be known. And many times a person, he will think, good about an individual, but whenever the trials befall those who were not steadfast or those who are not firmly grounded, many a times they fall off in the times of fitna, and they fall into the fitna, and they become fuel for the fitna and the trials that happen. And everyone is good in the likes like this, but whenever the trials they come, this is the time to test and to clarify. Those who stand fast and hold firm to the qawa'id and the usul of the salaf in times of trials and fitna, these are the ones who are truthful in their faith. Those people who are claiming, yani, to hold fast to the sunnah, to raise the legislation and the sharia, to be upon the methodology of the salaf, so on and so forth. And then whenever the trials come, they follow their whims and desires, and they oppose the usul and the principles. This is a sign that they were not truthful in the beginning. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ They were not steadfast and firm. And they were not steadfast and firm. Here specifically talking about the fitna and the dissension of the ranks of the believers, specifically Ahl Sunnah. Any of the ranks with regards to the rulers and the likes like this, and even the fitna that occurs from amongst the ranks of the scholars and the likes like this, from the people of the Sunnah, those who are well known from the Sunnah, to delve into these affairs and to fall into these affairs and to speak about these affairs. Yani, this is not something that is praiseworthy or good, whether it's something that one would avoid. And there are people who are qualified to speak about these affairs, even if somebody has knowledge about some of these issues. He will be silent. Not out of fear or because he's scared to speak, but because it's not in the best interest of the ummah for him to speak. And it's not going to bring about good for him and for the others if he speaks. So therefore he'll be silent, and he will let those who are qualified and those who take precedence and those who are more knowledgeable and rightful to speak in the likes of these affairs, and he will wait for them to speak. And if they haven't spoken, then indeed this is an indication that he should not speak. That he should not speak in the likes of these affairs. And the likes of these affairs. So to seek the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and to be patient and to be truthful in the faith, and to know that the trials and the fitna, they come from time to time to clarify who is truthful, from who is dishonest, and from who is lying, and from who is strong in his faith, and from who is weak. So the author, he mentioned a number of narrations. He says, An ibn Amr radiallahu anhuma marfu'a, Satakunu fitnatun تستنظيف العرب قتلاهم في النار اللسان فيها أشد من وقع السيف رواه أبو داود. The author, he mentioned the narration of Ibn Amr, Abdullah ibn Amr رضي الله عنهما, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, ستكون فتنة, there will be trials, تستنظيف العرب, تستنظيف العرب, they will wipe out the Arab. The trials, they will wipe out the Arab. استنظف الشيء تقول استنظفت الشيء إذا أخذته كله. يعني تستن هذه فتن تستنظف العرب. They will wipe out the Arab. قتلاهم في النار. Those who have died or those who are murdered in these trials, they will be in the fire. They will be in the fire. اللسان فيها أشد من وقع السيف. And the tongue in these trials is more severe than the falling of the sword. Is more severe than the falling of the sword, meaning the tongue is more sharper and brings about more calamity and more harms than the sword and the likes of these trials. The author, he says, this is narrated by Abu Dawood. The chain of this narration is weak. The chain of this narration is weak, but there are evidences that support the metin and that which is included there, and from the meanings. Also, he says, وَلَهُ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ وَلَهُ عَنْ أَبِي هُرَيْرَةَ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ مَرْفُوعًا سَتَكُونُ فِتْنَةٌ صَمْآ بَكْمَا عَمْيَا مَنْ أَشْرَفَ لَهَا أَسْتَشْرَفَتْ لَهُ وَإِشْرَافُ لِسَانِ فِيهَا كَوُقُوعِ السَّيْفِ. And also, narrated by Abu Dawood from the narration of Abi Hurayrah رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ, that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, there is going to be trials. There's going to be fitin. Satakunu fitnatun. There are going to be trials. Samma bakma amya. Yani, these trials are going to be deaf, dumb, and blind trials. Meaning, they're going to be trials that the people are going to be tried by them to the extent as if they'll be like this. Like they cannot see, they cannot hear, they cannot speak the truth. They will not be able to see the truth or to determine the truth or to differentiate between who is right and who is wrong. And who is deserving to be followed, and who is deserving to be refuted, and who is the one who is correct, and the one who is incorrect in the circumstances, and the dividing and the division. And there will be صماء بكماء Amyah, meaning this fitan, these trials will be in this manner to the extent that people, they will not be able to see clearly. They will overcome their hearts and they will not be able to understand the truth and to realize which one is right and to know the position that's proper to take. And because of how severe the trials will be. Because of how severe the trials will be. Then he mentioned, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the one who, man ashrafa laha istasharafat lahu. The one who exposes himself to them, or the one who takes a look into them, or advances upon them, they will overcome him. They will overcome him. Yani, the al-ishraf, again, is whenever a person, or he will take a look at something. He will go into the edge of something. And the sharaf, yani, or the shurfa, this is like a balcony, because it's overhanging the edge. And so it has a similar meaning. What is intended here? The one who goes to take a look into the fitna. He just says he's going to check it out. He's going to look at it. He's going to see what's going on. He will overcome him or overpower him, and it will draw him in. So this is from the meaning of that. And then he says, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this narration, وَشْرَحُ اللِّسَانِ فِيهَا كَوُقُوعِ السَّيْفِ. And the fact that the tongue gets involved in the likes of these fitan is similar to that of the falling of the sword, meaning in the harms that it will bring. Likewise, the people of knowledge, they mentioned this chain again, has some weakness, but the meaning is similar to the one has preceded. And then he mentioned, rahimahullah, wadi ibn Majah and ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma marfu'a, iyyakum wal fitan, fa'inna lisana fiha kawaq'i as-sayf. And another narration by Ibn Majah from the hadith of Ibn Umar, radiyallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, beware of the fitan, beware of the trials, fa'inna lisana fiha kawaq'i as-sayf, because indeed the tongue and the time of these trials is like the falling of the sword, and you like the effects of the sword. Likewise, this chain as well has deficiency in it and is weak. All three of these narrations that the author mentioned here, their chains, they are weak. But there are other evidences supporting the meanings that are found here. From that which is in Bukhari and Muslim, from the hadith of Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, Satakunu fitanun, just like what is mentioned here. There are going to be trials. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned this affair. There are going to be trials. Al-qa'idu fiha khayrun min al-qa'im. The one who is sitting in these trials is better than the one who is standing. Wal-qa'imu fiha khayrun min al-mashi. And the one who is standing in these trials is better than the one who is walking towards them. وَالْمَاشِي فِيهَا خَيْرٌ مِّنَ السَّاعِي. And the one who was walking in these trials is better than the one is hastening towards them and hastening in them. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَنْ تَشَرَّفَ لَهَا تَسْتَشْرِفْهُ. مَنْ تَشَرَّفَ لَهَا تَسْتَشْرِفْهُ. And whoever takes a look into these affairs or gets involved in them, they will overcome him. They will overpower him. They will touch him with evil. And the one who takes a look and exposes himself to these fitna, then the fitna will bring his trials to him and will touch him with his evil. And what touches with his evil, and he will be overcome and he will be cast into these affairs. So again, this narration is an amazing affair. And in the warning and prohibition to stay away from the fitna. After this, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَمَنْ وَجَدَ فِيهَا مَلْجَأً أَوْ مَعَاذٍ فَلْيَعُذْ بِهِ. And whoever finds, and in the time of these trials, whoever finds a place of refuge or a place of shelter, then let him take shelter there. And if he find any way to avoid it and stay away from it, in entirety, then let him do that. So this is similar to what is being mentioned here in these narrations. And the people that get involved in them, they will be wiped out. And similar like this narration here, the one that's in Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Abi Hurairah, there's another narration in the books of hadith from that which is in the Tirmidhi, from the hadith of Abi Musa, radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, إِنَّ بَيْنَ أَيْدِيكُمْ فِتَنًا كَقِطَعِ اللَّيْلِ الْمُظْلِمِ. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, verily in front of you and coming in the future, there will be trials. There will be trials like pitch black night, like the pitch black night. This is similar to what is intended from the fitan that are samma, bakma, amya. That these fitna, they're like pitch black nights. Many people, they will not be able to decide or determine or differentiate between that which is right and that which is wrong, and that which is truth and that which is falsehood, and that which is good and that which is bad. Many people, because of how dark it is, because they are not able to see, because they are blinded from these affairs, and it's not clear for them, they would advance upon that which is wrong, and they will refute and turn away from that which is right. And the likes like this, they will see wrong, they will see backwards, they will not see the truth properly, and because of the trials. And whenever the fitna, it sinks into the heart of a person, and the love for that, and he becomes infatuated with that, it will overcome him and wipe him out. And all of the ayat could be recited to him, and all of the hadith could be narrated to him, and he will reject them, and he will not benefit from them, and he will follow his desires, and he will advance upon that affair. And he will advance upon that affair. This is the way of the trials and the fitna. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he warned that inna bayna aydikum fitanan ka khita'i al-layl al-mudhlim, indeed in front of you coming there are trials that will be like the pitch black nights, like the pitch black nights. Yusbihu ar-rajulu fiha mu'minan wa yumsi kafira, a man, he will come in the morning as a believer, and by the evening time he will be a disbeliever. Wa yumsi mu'minan wa yusbihu kafira, and he will in the evening, another man in the evening, he will be a believer, but by morning time, he will be a disbeliever because of the trials and the fitna that are occurring in these days. And then the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam, again, he says, Al-qa'idu fiha khayrun min al-qa'im, wal-qa'im fiha khayrun min al-mashi, wal-mashi fiha khayrun min al-sa'i. And the one who is sitting in these trials, he's better than the one who's standing. And the one who is standing is better than the one who is walking. And the one who is walking is better than the one who is hastening in these and these trials and in these fitin. The companions, they said, قَالُوا فَمَا تَأْمُرُنَا. The companions, they said, what do you order us to do at this time, O Messenger of Allah? صلى الله عليه وسلم قَالَ كُونُوا أَحْلَاسَ بُيُوتِكُمْ. كُونُوا أَحْلَاسَ بُيُوتِكُمْ. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, he said, you should be أحلاس بُيُوتِكُمْ. أحلاس is the plural of حلس. The حلس is a type of garment that they would put on the back of their riding animal. Or it's like a garment or something that they would use on the ground as a rug and the likes like this. So it would either be on their riding animal or it's something that they would put in their house. And it would be some type of a decoration or a carpet or a rug or a curtain and the likes like this that would stay in the house. What is intended? إِلْزَمُوا بُيُوتَكُمْ. Remain in your houses. Stay in your homes. So whenever the fitan befall, for example, like we have seen in recent history, and the fitna of the people going to the streets and revolting against the rulers and screaming these different slogans, and some of them are beautiful. We have seen likewise the way of the people of misguidance and deviation, that many times they will cry out those beautiful slogans, but they'll in reality be calls of jahiliyyah, those people going to the street and the likes like this protesting against the ruler, and then what comes from that, yani, is bloodshed and destruction and demolition and death and shattered homes and families and widows and children with no food and the likes like this. And this is seen in Syria, and this is seen in the Muslim lands, and this is known. And in that time, before that happened, the people of knowledge are saying, do not go in the street, stay in your homes, stay in your homes. This is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ordered. But the thing is, whenever the fitna come, the people of sound mind and intelligence and the people of knowledge, they see it when it's coming. And the ignorant and the foolish and the layman, they do not see it when it's coming. But whenever it's leaving, even the ignorant and the foolish, they're all aware that it was there. And they're all aware that it was there. Meaning they do not see it until it comes and wipes them out and finishes them. But as for the people of knowledge, they have insight. And the people of sound mind and understanding, they know that this is not correct. And the outcome from this is going to be found. Those individuals in Syria, for example, calling the people to the street. Go to the street, go to the street. No doubt, it's even mentioned that their ruler, yani, he was in a foul state. He was in a foul state. He was not even a Muslim. Many of the people of knowledge declared him to be a disbeliever. But they did not have the ability that's required to allow them to go against him. And so therefore, they were still prohibited from what they were doing, because he had more forces and he had more strength and he had more power, and they did not have the ability. So the fact that they revolted against him, even if he was a disbeliever, is not going to bring about good. So therefore the people of knowledge told them to stay in their homes, but they did not listen. They said, go to the street. And now if you look today, and Allah is my witness, if you look today, there's no street there to go to. There's no street there to go there. You can't even go in the street. The streets are crumbles. The streets are ruined. They're demolished entirely. There's no streets there. It's crumbled. It's ruins. There's no bakeries. There's no bread places. There's no food places. And literally, there would be children on the ground picking up garbage and picking up trash. And many of them, they're scattered all over the world, here and there, left and right. And the lies like this is all from that fitin that we are prohibited from even speaking about. And those who speak about it, some of the people of knowledge, they mentioned they're the worst than the ones who actually partake in it. And there's a type of the Khawarij, they're called Al-Qa'adiyya. And the people of knowledge have spoken about them for a long time. And even Imam Ahmad, he warned against them, rahimahullah ta'ala. And he mentioned, Qa'adul Khawarij, akhbathu min al-Khawarij. The Qa'ad, Al-Khawarij, those who, they don't actually take the sword themselves. They don't actually pick up arms and go against the ruler themselves, but they rile the people up. They speak about it. They talk about the fitna, and they rile the people up. And we see in these days, they have many different deceitful and tricky methodologies to try to rile up the Muslims against the Muslim rulers. To rile up the Muslims against the Muslim rulers in order to do what they did in Syria. In order to do what they did in the rest of the Muslim lands, to destroy them. And then they have the ability to come there and to implement whatever they like and to put whoever they want in charge. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ And then belittle the believers. Belittle the believers at the hand of the believers. Belittle the believers at the hand of the believers. وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ وَلِيَذُ بِاللَّهِ So to beware from this, the worst of those people, the worst of those people, those who sit, and then maybe they sit behind a screen, maybe they sit in the masajid, maybe they sit here or they sit there, and they rile up the people, speaking about the fitan, speaking about the trials, riling up the people against the Muslim rulers, riling up the people against the scholars, and the likes like this. All of this is from a foul way. All of this is from a foul way. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned whenever these fitan come, these trials, they come, that the one who is sitting down is better than the one who is standing. The one who is standing is better than one who is walking in it. And the one who is walking in is better than one who is hastening in it. Meaning the further a person can be from the fitna, the better he is. The further the person can be from the fitna, the better he is. And this is the intent. Whenever these fitna and these trials befall, especially with regards to the differences and the dissension in the ranks that happen between the believers, and even more specific with regards to the Muslim rulers, which is a means to corrupt and to disrupt the authority and the safety and security and the protection of the Muslim blood in the Muslim lands and the Muslim wealth and the Muslim property in the Muslim lands. This is from the worst of the affairs to speak about. Even more severe and more severe because of what comes from that, from the demolishment, from the destruction, and from the violation of Muslim blood, the Muslim, their rights and their blood and their property and their wealth and their wealth and their honor and their reputation. Yani, so this is something that is a major affair to speak about these issues. A believer, he would never do these affairs. His faith would carry him to be silent. فَلِيَكُلْ خَيْرٌ أَوْ لِيَسْمُتْ He will to be silent about these affairs. And if he has the ability to advise or to direct, then he will do that with wisdom and hoping for the reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But to get involved in these affairs, even the fitna that occurs between some of the people of knowledge, from the people of the sunnah, they're fools and idiots. Fools and idiots that they can't wait to force somebody. What is your position and what do you say about so-and-so? Maybe he's a new Muslim or maybe he's a layman Muslim. He never even knows so-and-so. He don't even know how to spell his name. Maybe he can't even say that Sheikh so-and-so's name properly. Literally. But then they'll force him. What do you say about him? What do you say about him? Well, I don't even know who he is. I can't even say his name. Well, if you don't say him about this about him and that about him, then we're going to boycott you. Or you must be with these guys. Or we're going to get... I mean, all of this is from foolish. This is not what the Prophet ﷺ ordered or commanded. This is not from the legislation. This is from following desires and whims. And those individuals, they're the only ones who benefit from that. And they manipulate the people in the name of Salafiyah. And they manipulate the people and use them in the name of the deen like this. And this is something that should be well known. It should not be hidden. And it should not be something that we draw a blind eye to and that we overlook. And this is not something that you pardon. Like, you don't get pardoned. There's no pardoning like this. No, these people need to be taken by their hand and it needs to be known. Stop doing that. Do not use the deen of Allah. Do not use as-salafiyyah and the religion of Allah as a wajah for your personal gains. For your personal gains. We don't agree with that. And it's clear. Too many examples. Too many times, this is something that cannot be overlooked. Rather, these people are people of fitna. And then what do they say? We only want good. We only want good. Similar to the hypocrites, waliyadu billah. Similar to the Jews, waliyadu billah. That's why they have a resemblance to the people of desires and whims. Because this is the way. And many times what they do, the first trick that they do, they try to turn you away from the true people of knowledge. And this is the manner to bring the fitna. And this is how the fitna starts. They make it unclear who the people of knowledge are. They'll turn you away from the people of knowledge. Those people who are grounded, and those people who are firm, and those people who are rasikhun, those people who their beards have become gray with knowledge and experience upon salafiyya and calling to tawheed and establishing the sunnah. This does not mean that they're ma'sumun. Does not mean that they're safe from every last mistake, but it's known that they are the people of the sunnah. They're the scholars of the sunnah. They'll turn you away from them by glorifying other people, by raising the ranks of other people. Sheikh so-and-so, praised by Sheikh so-and-so. But that Sheikh so-and-so, in reality, he's a young man. He's a young man who just graduated. But the youth in America and the Muslims in America, they have no clue. Because many of them, they can't even speak Arabic. So therefore, we see that, again, without having knowledge, the fitna is a means for them to be affected by that directly. To be affected by that directly. Wiliyadu billah. So they do the likes of this. Now we see this today. They for years, 20 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years, the translation for the people of knowledge are the same. The people of knowledge, we know who they are. The great scholars and those who are under them and the likes like this, we know their names. They're very familiar. But suddenly, in the last few years, all of a sudden there's new names. And those other names are gone. And those new names, and nobody knows who they are. Except for the people who know. The students of knowledge, they know who they are. But the reality is, this is a foul way. This is from that fitna. This is from those trials. Do not get involved in that. But one thing about the fitna is, although a person, he will not get involved in it, he will also likewise not be innocent and be deceived by that. And because of a person, he does not have knowledge of the foundations and the fundamentals and the likes like that, he'll be affected by that and be drawn into that. So to know about these affairs in order to avoid them upon insight, to know about the likes of these trials and the tricks and the traps of the people of desires, to know about the methodology of the Khawarij in detail from day one. Their methodology is not different. They have different terms, different words they might use and the likes like this, but it's one way. The people of whims and the people of desires and the likes like this, they have a methodology that is clear. If you learn their way, you'll be able to see them. You'll be able to see them. You see people talking, you hear them mentioning certain things, you'll be like, that man is Ikhwani. So how do you say that? How do you know that? Because of his speech. He clarifying his methodology, his way. If somebody else, he starts talking, you say, man, that man's tablighi. Like this, because he would expose himself. If you learn these fundamentals, you learn these principles. And even today, they have people that are very deceptive. And they talk about Salafiyya, and they talk about the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And then whenever you talk about the rulers, now they go the other way. And now they go the other way. You have to be very careful. People are using these beautiful names. People are using these beautiful names and slogans from the religion, a Salafiyya, a Sunnah, the Deen, a Sharia. We want to establish the Islamic law, the Khilafah, so on and so forth. But wallahi, they're liars. Wallahi, they're liars. How many times in Egypt have they killed a ruler and overthrown the government, and still there's graves in the same masajid? Not one masjid was removed, and not one grave was removed. Not one masjid was removed, not one grave was removed. No alcohol was destroyed or poured out in the streets. They get authority and get power. They do not establish the legislation. Rather, they go back on their heels. They go back on their heels. Many of them, they start talking about, oh, the demokratiya. Democracy. What do you have to build now? And before that, Sharia, the deen. Jihad, fight the people and the likes like this. And then in the end, wallahi, they betray. And they're liars. Ikhwan Muslimun, they're liars. Do not be deceived by them. They're from the leaders of this affair and their branches, from the sururiyah and the likes like this, calling to the fitin, calling to the trials, calling to the misguidance, calling to the bloodshed, calling to the humiliation of the Muslims, calling to the humiliation of the Muslims, and either being humiliated, literally, being humiliated in the lands. Yani at the hands of the disbelievers, waliyadu billah, because of these trials and these fitin. So here the point is, never mind getting involved in the fitna. Do not even talk about it. Do not even talk about it. Do not even get involved in it. Do not even use your tongue. You don't get involved. And this is the point of this chapter here. Do not say it. All these narrations, again, the point of the author choosing these narrations is because it's that which is mentioned directly about the danger of the tongue and the trials. And although the chains are weak, this meaning is correct. This meaning is correct. And many times, as we have seen, Imam Ahmed, what did he say about the qa'ada? قاعدة الخوارج أخبث أخبث من الخوارج. Those who sit and rile the people up from the Khawarij, they're more filthy and disgusting than the actual Khawarij. Because many times they will bring more evil and more bloodshed will come because of them. People will maybe they'll think about it or it will cross their minds, but they'll preoccupy themselves with something else and they will not get involved in the fitna. But then these people will come and they'll rile them up. And they'll stir up their emotions. And they'll say, look at this and look at that. And they'll show them pictures like we have today. Show them pictures of this land and that land. And then they'll show them pictures of this and this news and that news. And this ruler and that ruler. And he did this and he was here. And the likes like this. And then those people before who maybe thought about it or it crossed their mind, but they weren't actually going to get involved. Now they are leaders in the affair. They are leaders in the affair. And many of them, Allahumma istaan, they are affected by these affairs, and they do not come back. They do not come back. They do not come back. They wind up completely misguided, yani upon a path of destruction. Waliyadu billah. Some of them, they will sit, and they have the gift of gab, and they will talk until he can convince one of the ignorant youth to blow himself up in the name of Allah. Waliyadu billah. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, whoever killed himself with hadida, with a piece of iron, he stabbed himself, he will be like that on the day of resurrection. He will be resurrected doing the same thing. So this is not allowed. This is not allowed. This is a foul way. All of this is from speaking in the fitna and talking about the trials and getting involved in that with the tongue. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ A believer, he will be far from that. So we see these narrations the author mentioned. These other narrations here, they actually support that. So there are authentic narrations from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that include these meanings. Even the last narration, Iyakum wal fitan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in this narration is mentioned. He said, "Beware of the fitan. Stay away from the trials." And he likewise in Sahih Muslim, it has been narrated by Zayd ibn Thabit, radiyallahu anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he was sitting with them, and he told them, "Ta'awwadhu billahi min al-fitan ma dhahara minha wa ma batan." Ta'awwadhu billahi min al-fitan ma dhahara minha wa ma batan. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered them. He said to them, "He seek refuge with Allah. Seek refuge with Allah from the trials and from the fitna, that which is apparent and that which is hidden from that." And so the companions, what did they say? "Na'udhu billahi min al-fitna ma dhahara minha wa ma batan." So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he warned them from this. And the companions, they complied to that. And they said, "We seek refuge with Allah from the fitna. We seek refuge with Allah from the trials, that which is apparent and that which is hidden. And that which is apparent and that which is hidden." So this, again, is a great warning. And a believer must learn how to control his tongue and how to say that which is good or be silent, and to weigh his words before he says them, to think about them, even if they're truthful, even if even if it's honest. It's not necessary or required, or sometimes it's not even permissible to mention them. It's not even permissible sometimes to mention certain affairs, yani even if it's truthful. Even if it's truthful, not everything that comes to a person, he will transmit that. And he would transmit that. And today, not only is it with the tongue, also it's with the thumb. Before it would be with the tongue and also with the hand, they were right. But now we have another avenue, another means with the thumb, texting and forwarding and the likes like this. A believer, he will think before he forwards. He will think before he forwards, and everything that comes to him on WhatsApp and in Facebook and on YouTube, he will not accept it right away. He will not believe it right away. It's 100% truth. "Oh, so-and-so did that." Many times this is the way. One person, maybe he will know a brother his whole life. He'll know a brother for 20 years, 30 years, or 10 years, 5 years, and all he knows is about good. All he knows about the person is good, or a sister, she'll know her sister for several years, and they have a beautiful relationship. Then she know or he knows nothing except good about that person, and somebody they just met last week will come along and say, "Oh, so-and-so is this and that." So somebody they just met last week or last month or a year ago, and the likes like this will come and say, "Oh, so-and-so, that's your companion? Oh, he's this and that and this and that. Oh, she did that and she did this." And then he will separate between the two of them. And then what is any foul is that person will believe them and he will follow them. And he will throw that whole relationship behind their back like it was never nothing. And the likes like this, and even some of them will go to the lowly state that they will start exposing any their friend and companion and the secrets that they had amongst each other from traveling and from eating together and from being alone together, whenever they trusted each other. And this is a foul way. Likewise. This is a foul way. Likewise. All of this is from the fitin and from the people of fitin. So be careful from them. Be careful from them. And many of them, they'll come to this gathering and they'll speak about the fitna. And then they'll go to the other gathering and they'll speak about the fitna. Like we've seen before. Dhu al-wajhain. Whenever they come over here, they'll pretend to be the friends with this group of people and the likes like this and that they're with them. And then whenever they turn their back, they'll go to the other group who was their enemies or was belittling them or was mocking them. And the likes like this, and they'll pretend to be their friends. Likewise, with the other billah. So the people of fitna, and specifically these types of fitan, and they have great, great resemblances with the munafiqun. Wariyadu billah. Wariyadu billah. Here in this wording, the author, he mentioned, man ashrafa laha istashrafat lahu. And in this wording, likewise, has come authentically in the hadith of Abi Huraira, radiallahu anhu, the one that we read in al-Bukhari and Muslim. Man tasharrafa laha tastashrifhu. And the people of knowledge, they mention, and what that means is the one who takes a look at it, the one who checks it out, the one who takes a peek, the one who exposes himself to it, then it will engulf him. It will engulf him. And تَسْتَشْرِفُهُ أَنِي تَغْلِيبُهُ تَغْلِيبُهُ, it would overcome him. Even some of the wordings that have mentioned, أَنِي تَسْتَهْلِكُهُ تَسْتَهْلِكُهُ, and it will consume him. It will consume him. And if you see the people who get involved in these affairs, if you see the people who get involved in these fitan and these trials and these disputes between the people of the sunnah or the fitan and the likes like this in these lands and these trials, you'll find them, they will check it out. They will look at the website, or they will read this position, or they will look at this refutation. And then pretty soon this person, this is all he talks about. Like it would completely wipe him out. All of his time will be involved in this, and all of his speech will be involved in this, and all of his thoughts will be involved in this, meaning that the fitna will overcome him. And at this time, and this is what it's talking about, then he will be blinded by that affair. And if the heart soaks this up, then he will fall for that, and he will go into that, and he will delve into that, وَلِيَذِ بِاللَّهِ, and it will completely engulf this person and cause him to do actions and deeds that the best one could say about them is that he will regret them. Many of them, they do not regret. They do not even come back from that. But the best that he could do is that he could see, and he will be guided someday to realize he was wrong and to repent from that and to regret those affairs. And he will fall into that which is not praiseworthy and not a nice or a good outcome. What is incumbent for a believer to do in the times of trials and fitna is to be silent. And if it's the fitna with regards to the sword, with regards to revolution and the likes like that, and bloodshed, then he will stay in his home. Even when in some narrations, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Kun Abdullah al-Maktul, wa la takun Abdullah al-Qatil." That in the times whenever there's bloodshed and the Muslims are fighting one another and the likes like this, he said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "You be the slave of Allah who was murdered, and do not be the slave of Allah who is a murderer." And he said in one narration, he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, kun khayra ibnay Adam, be the best of the two sons of Adam. And the one that was murdered. And to not murder another believer. Even some of the salaf from the tabi'een, I forget his name right now, but it's mentioned that they tried to encourage him to participate in the conflicts that occurred between the believers. And he said, if you bring me a sword that has two eyes and a tongue, and they'll tell me he's a kafir and he's a believer, strike this one and don't strike that one, then I will join the battle with you. And if until then, I'm not going to join the battle with you. And because now the issue is unclear. The issue is unclear. He doesn't know. Is he going to strike the neck of a Muslim, or is he going to strike the neck of a disbeliever? So he's not allowed to strike the neck of a Muslim like this. So this is something that's dangerous. So a believer, he will avoid these affairs. And he will stay away from these affairs, and he will not get involved. He will not get involved. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, "Al-ibadah fil haraji kal hijrati ilayya." Yani to be involved in worship, and the time of murder and killing, and the time of trials and calamities is like migrating to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So what is encouraged in the time of calamities and the time of fitan is to not get involved, not physically and not verbally, but rather to engage oneself in worship. To worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to devote oneself to Allah azza wa jal. And from the best of that is to seek knowledge. From the best of that is to seek knowledge. And the only makhraj, the people of knowledge, they clarify this. The only makhraj, the only way out of the fitna is to have knowledge. Is to have knowledge, because knowledge is light and it will verify for you and clarify for you and distinguish from you. The knowledge is a furqan, a criterion that distinguishes who is correct and who is incorrect and who is right and who is wrong and who deserves to be hated and supported and who deserves to be yani to be avoided and stayed away from. And the likes like this, it clarifies al-haq min al-batil, wal-huda min al-dalal. So therefore to seek knowledge and to strive to have knowledge, whether in these days, knowledge is the jihad of our time. The jihad of our time is seeking knowledge and spreading knowledge and teaching and clarifying the proper religion and proper deen. This is what is required to establish. This is the striving. This is the effort. This is the effort to cultivate and to educate the Muslims and to clarify the correct path in the correct way, to learn that and to apply that and to abide by that and to spread that and to teach that and to raise a generation upon khayr, that whenever they call on Allah, Allah answers them because of their sincere faith and their obedience, and because of their compliance and their submission, and because of their allegiance and their alliance for Allah and His command, and for His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this time, the believers, they would have victory, they would have the upper hand, and they would have the support, and they would have aid, and their enemies will be under them. But until then, that will not occur. That will not occur. So the way is to not go against the ruler, or to blame the ruler, or to revolt and to shed blood and the likes like this. This is not the way. وَلِيَذَ بِاللَّهِ This is nothing but fitna. This is nothing but fitna and trials. It's been narrated in Sahih Bukhari from the Hadith of Salama radiallahu anha. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam woke up in the middle of the night one time and he said, Subhanallah. He said, Subhanallah, glorified is Allah. And then he said, مَاذَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ الْخَزَائِنَ مَاذَا أُنزِلَ عَلَيْنَا مِنْ الْفِتْنَةِ He said, Subhanallah, what so much has descended tonight from the treasures, and so much has descended tonight from the trials and the fitna. مَنْ يُوْقِذُ صَوَاحِبِ الْهُجَرَاتِ This is the point. Who will wake up the women of the rooms, meaning his wives? So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he woke up and he mentioned that it had been revealed to him that trials had descended this night. That some fitan had descended this night. And what did he do? Who will wake up the wives? And he waking them up so they can establish the night prayer. And he said, meaning that the worship and devotion to Allah Azza wa Jal sincerely in the times of fitna, this is what a believer will busy himself with. He'll not busy himself with Twitter and refutations and going back and forth. And he'll not busy himself with spreading what they did in this country and that country and what this ruler said and that ruler said. He'll not busy himself arguing and debating and the likes like this, showing pictures and mentioning all of these affairs. He will busy himself with that which is beneficial for him and his family. He will busy himself with that which is beneficial for him and his family, and he will seek refuge with Allah from the fitna. And he will seek refuge with Allah from the fitna, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered: "تَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْفِتْنَةِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ فَنَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الْفِتْنَةِ مَا ظَهَرَ مِنْهَا وَمَا بَطَنَ هَذَا وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى نَبِيِّنَا مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَى آلِهِ وَصَحْبِهِ وَسَلَّمَ